So tonight we have a very special guest. He's a Res Life staff member. His name is Greg Edgecombe, and he is a man who is passionately following Jesus. This man has shaped me in so many different ways. He carries such a deep love and a reverence for God, and he's coming to share part of his testimony tonight. So would you give a big access welcome to Greg Edgecombe? Woo!
Thank you. Oh my goodness, it's so good to be here. And I just want to say thank you so much, Pastor Jared, for asking me to be here tonight. This is a topic that's dear to my heart, and I've been sharing with folks here, there, and everywhere about forgiveness because it's a powerful part of my testimony that the Lord forgave me and that I was able to pass that on to others. So again, thank you so much, Pastor Jared. And I want to just also say thank you so much to Pastor Nick Mayo. And yeah, give it up for him. And I get the blessing of working with Andrew McClure, who's part of the discipleship program as well. And I'm just so thankful for all these folks who are pouring into your generation to see, watch and see you grow and watch and see folks come to know the Lord. So this is going to be a very real story about how God looked at a disgusting, filthy human being, just filled with sin, anger, and hurt. And he said, watch this. I can use that. And just redeeming my life, really a life that was set for destruction as far as the enemy was concerned, so that I wouldn't be here tonight. So I'm just blessed to be able to be here, and it's such an honor to be with you guys tonight. Let me just pray real quick. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much, Lord God. We pray that you would increase in all of us, that we would decrease in ourselves, Father. And I pray, Father in heaven, that you would be glorified in all that I say. And I ask, Lord God, that you continue to show us your heart towards unforgiveness and restore us, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us an understanding of your desire for us and the forgiveness that we are to have towards others. Thank you for the victory, Father in heaven, that comes from being a doer of your living word. We thank you that you are real, Lord God. You are as real as us sitting here right now. And your word is alive. It's not just letters on a page, Lord God. It is life-changing if we will let it. So we receive your word, Father, and we pray, Lord, that you would look down upon us and see if there be any wicked way in us, that you would examine our hearts and our minds, Father, that you would lead us in your way everlasting, Father. And we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. So no show of hands. Just think in your heart if anybody has ever hurt you. People that are close to you, that's usually who can hurt you. But it could be a boss, it could be a teacher, it could be a mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, any of those things. And you can be hurt by them and have a threat of unforgiveness in your heart towards them. I want to say as I start off here that forgiving somebody does not mean that what they did is okay. It doesn't mean that what they did was right, but it absolutely sets you free. It sets you free. And believe me, God is a just God, and he will deal with the hearts of those who have wronged you. Leave it in his hands. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in 1959. That just seems like so long ago, man. Goodness gracious. I feel like I'm about 20 or 30 years old, so that's why they invited me tonight. I think I made somewhere in that range, yeah. So I got to tell you a little bit about my mom, and I'm not here to bash my mom or even a person who did some horrible stuff to my family. And you'll see that in the end. But I do have to talk about my mom because she was there when I was born, and some things took a bad twist in the early years, and I just want to share them with you. No sympathy whatsoever. You're going to hear a victory story out of this, I promise you. I was number three of six kids in my family. My mom was a preacher's kid who rebelled horribly and left her home as soon as she got out of high school. And none of her family knew where she was at for 6 to 8 months after she left home. She managed to become pregnant before she was married and set a quick wedding date, which her parents refused to attend. Again, her dad was a pastor. Her two brothers became pastors. Again, she just rebelled from that. So she rebelliously held her wedding on Devil's Night, Halloween Eve. My mom suffered from depression and drinking, and she had a very deep resentment towards her own mother. And a deep resentment, human-to-human terms, means unforgiveness. She was not following the Lord and managed basically the best that you could for somebody who wasn't following the Lord. At 4 years old, I don't know what happened, but I found myself running through the house in my underwear. And you say, 4 years old? I'm 64 years old right now. And I remember it like it happened 1 minute ago. My mom was chasing me through the house, ended up cornering me in my bedroom, at which time she was in a rage. I don't know if she'd been drinking. I don't remember that, and I probably wouldn't notice that as a kid. What I did notice is the jump rope that she picked up and started swinging at me. I found myself in a corner with my face to the wall in a fetal position, and my back was being whipped and whipped and whipped and whipped. While she screamed, "I wish you were never born." Then she just disappeared into the house. I, as you can imagine, grew up as a bit angry, didn't feel loved, didn't feel wanted, was getting in trouble in my early teens. At 13 years old, a doctor moved in just down the road, about a quarter mile from us. He had adopted two boys, and my mom thought, "Well, my goodness, this is a great role model. I'll have my son hang out down there." I happen to be the age of one of those boys. "Go down there anytime you want, spend all the time you want down there." It also got me out of the house and out of her hair. So I started spending time down there. And I spent a lot of time down there because as soon as I walked in the door, he welcomed me with a stack of about 1 to 2 foot high stack of pornography. Read all you want, enjoy all you want. Of course, I didn't tell my mom. Here I was a young teen, and all it did is feed an already depraved mind. Come to find out, he was living a pretty open homosexual relationship with his friend there at the house. So here I went from bad, really bad, to worse in this situation. That was who was supposed to be mentoring me. At 14 years old, I was arrested for shoplifting. At 14 years old, as a very, very angry young man in the dark front yard of our house, I looked at the sky and I just yelled out to God that I hated him, that I wanted absolutely nothing to do with him, that I hated my life, and made a really dumb decision, started to pray to Satan. I began drinking alcohol and doing everything that followed that foolishness. At 14 years old, my brothers and I built a hut in the woods that was just built for nothing but absolute sin and debauchery. Through my 15 and 16 years old. I really committed sin about as best as I could. I'm kind of a 1,000 miles per hour in whatever direction I'm going kind of a guy, which wasn't good in this case. It's great today, but it wasn't good in this case. And I was found myself basically participating in the, as Ephesians says, the unfruitful deeds of darkness that are even shameful to even speak of. And through my foolishness and the sin that I was committing, I managed to attract demonic spirits to myself. And I knew the very instant that they arrived. I was in the middle of a sin, and I stopped, and I said, "Whoa, what was that?" I had no idea, but I knew something had happened. At 16 and a half years old, my best friend, Larry, who's now a pastor, who was really side by side with me in everything except for the Satan stuff, we were just doing all kinds of nastiness. He went to a Young Life camp. Young Life is a Christian organization that reaches out to high school age kids, and it's a organization that is big on evangelism. He went, before he went that summer, I said, "Don't go to this camp you're going to. I don't know anything about it, but I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to change. Do not go." "Nope, Greg, I ain't changing. I'm just going to go have fun." And interestingly, my now wife, Lori, we've been married coming up on 43 years this year. She was going to a Young Life camp also in a different area, and I told her not to go, but we were just, you know, just friends, and I kept telling her, "You know what, you're going to go out there, and that's going to be some kind of a cult. You're going to be stuck there for the rest of your life," and well, I was wrong on both counts. They both got born again. So my good friend Larry comes back, starts wanting to talk about the Lord. And we've been best friends since kindergarten, and here we are at 16 and a half years old. As soon as he started talking about Jesus Christ, I said, "I don't want to hear any of that crap. Get out of here. I don't care if I ever see you again." I was just deep in the weeds. He knew my two brothers, so he came back over a couple days later, and I'm like, "Oh, brother, here we go with this Jesus stuff again." Well, my brothers listened, and so I'm like, "Why are you entertaining this guy, man?" And so since they sat there listening, I sat there too, and when they went in, it was getting late at night, and he said, "Greg, please, just let me tell you about what happened a few weeks ago." I said, "All right, just get it out." So he started telling me about Christ and the big change that it had made in his life. And I knew it made a change. He was not the same Larry that got sent out to this camp that he went to. And Larry was telling me about salvation and how I could be born again. And I'm thinking, "You got to be kidding me, dude, with the stuff that I'm doing." And he said, "Greg, you don't have to stop drinking. You do not have to stop chasing girls. And you do not have to stop cussing." Yeah, I had a filthy, filthy mouth. You can see that's changed. And I said, "You got to be kidding me." And he said, "No, we can pray right now. This is what you need to pray." "Okay, go ahead." Not a word came out of my mouth. We were sitting in that same front yard that I had told God I hated him in, about 80 feet from where that happened. Pitch black, and Larry says to me, "Man, is Satan ever present here right now?" That's pretty telling for a guy who's been born again for a couple of weeks. And I opened my eyes, I looked straight at Larry, because I thought he saw Satan in the flesh, because I'd been praying to him, and I'm like, I'm looking all around. It scared me. His eyes stayed closed, and he said, "Greg, I'm just going to go ahead and pray. You just repeat after me." And I did repeat after him. And I prayed the prayer of salvation. And he said, "Now, I have to go, but remember when I told you you wouldn't have to stop getting drunk?" And I'm like, "Please." Tricked me. He goes, "Nope. You don't have to stop getting drunk. You don't have to stop chasing girls, and you don't have to stop cussing. But you're going to want to. And I'm telling you, you have no idea how prophetic that was. I went in the house, got a drink of water. I looked up at the starry sky, and all I could hear is, "You are going to live forever with me." And it felt like I was holding on to an electrical cord for a second. I knew something had just happened to me. Larry came back the next day, gave me a brand new Bible, the Living Bible, a New Testament, and I tore through that thing. Within just weeks, I had read the entire New Testament, and I was tearing through it again, highlighting sections of it that I felt were really speaking to me. I'm like, that's about me, that's about me, that's about me. I was so grateful that Jesus could see someone so broken, so filthy, so depraved as me and say, I can do something good with this. Watch this. And he wanted to spend time with me, and he wanted to speak into my life, wanted to restore me. And I was a big ship going in the wrong direction at 1,000 miles an hour, so it took a little bit to get this ship stopped and turned in a different direction. But the Lord was so patient and so kind, so merciful and so forgiving of me that I'd never, ever forgotten that. One day, about 2 years later, I started hearing these thoughts in my head. They were absolutely nothing but blasphemy. And I heard them in my own voice. And it shook me. And I said, Lord, I did not say that. I said, your son, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. He died on that cross and poured out his blood, cleansed me of all sick, or of all sin and all iniquity in my life. And by his stripes, you've healed my body, you've healed my mind, and you have anointed my spirit. You put a new spirit in me. And I would still hear those thoughts, just as loud as could be. So one night I went and sat with some other 16 to 18-year-old friends of mine. We all played ball together. We were all born again, and I told them what was going on. And I said, guys, I don't know what's going on, although I had a pretty good inkling. Because I had never shared with anybody ever about the fact that I had been praying to Satan. And I knew that spirit had come into me, and I thought that spirit had left when I got born again. And I think that it did, but I think it came back for a visit. And I explained to them what had gone on, and they said, well, we're going to lay hands on you and pray over you. And I wasn't really sure what that was all about, quite frankly. But they did, and I started to cry. At that age, you don't usually spend too much time sometimes if you're trying to be the manly man crying in front of your best friends. But I couldn't control myself. And I was crying harder and harder and harder, and I almost felt like I couldn't get my next breath. I don't know how long this took. It could have just been a minute or two. But when it stopped and I stopped crying, I had unbelievable peace in my heart. And I have never, ever had those thoughts again to this very day. And I don't ever expect to, because those young men at 16, 17, and 18 years old were a catalyst that the Lord worked through to deliver me once and for all from that demonic presence. So you can see why I have a grateful heart to the Lord. The forgiveness that he showed me was unbelievable. And then the waves of victory and the waves that would come against me. I was the first one born again in my family. I came to the table with my Bible. I was so excited. Look what the Bible says. We can be born again. And everybody tolerated me. The next day I came, look at this is back when the families used to eat together at the table. And I said, look what I read in the Bible today. And my dad went, it's enough of that. Don't ever bring that Bible back to this table again, and I don't want you talking about any of that stuff anymore. I said, okay. I knew it said something in there because I read it about being respectful of my parents. And so I was. And then I came home on another day, and my mom said, "What's the name of that church you're going to?" And I said what name it was. Now, my mom was from a Lutheran background. And I told her, and she said, "Is it this one?" And she held up a full-page paper ad or article on the church that I was attending. And she said, "Do you know that they speak in tongues at that church?" And I said, "Yeah, I've heard it." "Do you know that they lay hands on people at that church?" And I said, "I've seen it." And she said, "I forbid you to go to that church again until you're an adult." I went to the church elders and I said, "My mom says I can't come here anymore." And they heads just went down and they said, "We're sorry, but you can't. You have to obey your mother and father." And I'm like, "Lord God Almighty, I was going to hell at 1,000 miles an hour. I'm finally doing the right thing and my parents are trying to stop me. What is going on?" I mean, it was frustrating. Well, I did what they said. I didn't go anymore. But the church had a meeting kind of like this, but in somebody's house, and I was allowed to go to that Bible study where they were speaking in tongues, where they were laying hands on people. Believe me, I did not report them. So I met Lori. I'm going to change gears real quick here. I met Lori in 1975. We were married in 1981. And Lori has been a constant reminder to me of God's mercy. I just never understood how she could be so merciful towards people. And I always said, "Lord, I want some of that." Well, I got it all, but I want some of that mercy. I want to know how. I just didn't feel like I could ever get there. We had three kids. As a family, we've been through trials that really honestly do destroy families and do destroy marriages. But in Christ, we prevailed against horrible odds. So let me tell you this story. We were living in Phoenix. My mom and my sister came down. A young man came down with them. I honestly thought, I didn't know why he was coming to our house with them on vacation. I thought maybe it was going to be an announcement, "Hey, we're getting married, my sister." Anyway, they went back home. Found out that he had been charged with several counts of sexual assault against children in Michigan, and that gave us some grave concern. We went down. We went down to the police department that I happened to work at the time and had their special folks talk with them, and we got some horrible, horrible news. That it had happened in our house at the hands of this man. God says, "When you touch my people, you touch the apple of my eye." And when you touch someone's three-year-old child, you are lighting a bonfire of wrath, hatred, anger, bitterness, revenge. I flew 2,000 miles across this nation hoping to murder that man. I was not in my right mind. I was born again, and I was a police officer. So the guilt of all of those things, and I was the protector and the head of my household, and I felt like I had failed on every turn. I just wanted revenge. It's a whole other story I can't explain, but it didn't happen because the Lord seriously intervened. Anyway, that young man was convicted and actually just got out of prison 35 years later now. And we went to see our pastor the day after it was disclosed to us. And I was in a rage in our pastor's office, crying and screaming and telling him how I want to kill this man. And he listened patiently, and when I was done in my rage, he said, "You know that you have to forgive him." I'm like, "Man, you got some guts, man, saying that to someone like me right now in a rage in your office." You know what? He cared for my eternity. So I began to pray. Those first prayers were, Lord, I forgive him. Really, I was just imitating Christ and just saying the words. They didn't mean much, and I was very honest with God. Those don't mean much right now. It doesn't mean much to me to say this. The Lord was just very patient and kind. And then I said, Father in heaven, I forgive him. And I was doing the same thing with my mom earlier before this had all happened. Interestingly, my mom is the one who paid for his ticket to come to our house. And, of course, she felt horrible about that. But one thing led to another. And I finally felt like I had fully forgiven him for what he did. And I knew I had fully forgiven my mom. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to switch stories back real quick. When I was 18 years old, I'd been born again for 1.5 years. I had totally reconciled forgiveness to my mother for what she had done to me when I was 4 years old. Stopped by the house. She was there by herself. I said, hey, I'd like to talk to you for a second. She said, okay, let's talk. And I said, hey, I just want to talk to you about something that happened to me when I was 4 years old. Her face went blank. I said, I distinctly remember you whipping me with a jump rope. I had welts on my back sticking up and fluid oozing out of those whip marks. She started crying uncontrollably. She knew exactly what I was talking about all these years later, and she was shocked that I remembered it in such vivid detail. And sometimes I wonder, and Lori had said to me, yeah, but it was so traumatic for you. You do remember those kind of things. And she started saying, I'm just the worst mom that ever was. I'm a rotten person, blah, 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 blah. And I said, no, that's not why I'm here. I'm here to tell you that I completely forgive you for everything that you ever did to me all these years. And she was sobbing and just said, how can you forgive me? I don't know why, but I treated you different than your other brothers and sisters. I was always more harsh with you than our other brothers and sisters, and I don't even know why. I do. The enemy was using her to destroy me. And again, no joke, so that I wouldn't be here tonight telling you this story. That was his plan. I said, Mom, I love you. You're my mother, and I wouldn't have any other. Now, my mom still, again, was not born again. And she said, how can you love me? How can you extend this love to me? And I said, Jesus Christ saved me from certain death the way I was going, and he gave it to me for free. What more can I do than to extend to you exactly what he gave to me? I didn't really remember the verses at the time, but as I lived a little longer, I found out that that really was mandated of me to do. I also fully forgave this man who had assaulted our child. And I knew that I had when I started just years later, just said, you know what? I'm just going to pray God's richest blessing on this man. He's still in prison. He has never asked for forgiveness to this day, and it doesn't even matter to me. And I said, Father, I pray favor. I pray your richest blessing on this young man. I pray that he is a leader in prison. I pray that he comes to the knowledge of your Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that you would fill him with all spiritual blessings, and that you would grant him favor with all people that he comes in contact at that prison. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know. I've had no contact with him, but I tell you that I would hug him as a brother if I walked through heaven and there he was. I would know that I know that I know that he was repentant. And you know what? Even if he wasn't, there's nothing I can do about that except for pray for him and hope the best and believe the best for him. How could I go ahead and forgive somebody who tried to destroy our family? Because forgiveness was freely given to me. And God tells us in his word multiple times that what he has given us He expects us to go ahead and pass on to others. Mercy he has given us, give mercy. Forgiveness, give forgiveness. Love, give love. Right down the line, every single thing that he gives to us, he expects that we will in turn freely give it away. And there's warnings in the Bible about if we don't. I have this little saying that I say to myself, and it seems harsh, but I'm telling you, it's the reality of what the pastor told me in that office. You have to forgive him. And I wrote down, you can't get it if you can't give it, period. It seems harsh, and maybe you haven't heard that, but let me just read a couple verses before we break into another section here of activation. Colossians, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. Isn't that what Christ did to us? If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Jesus, this is red letters. Pray then like this, our Father who art in heaven, I'm going to skip forward, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Be kind to one another, Ephesians 4:32, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Matthew 6:14, this is Jesus speaking again. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. In the flesh, we don't like to be told what to do. Our flesh defers to disobedience. But Jesus Christ himself in this is saying, please, please, please heed the words that I'm saying. Again, everything God has extended to us, he expects us to go ahead and extend to others. We received it freely, if so we need to freely give it. So I guess I would say, how do we forgive? First, again, realize that forgiveness is a decision. It is not an emotion. We have to decide in our head that we're going to do it and take those steps. Sometimes we have been hurt so horrible, so deep, that we can just almost not even utter the words. Be honest with our Father in heaven and say, Lord, my heart is just broken that this has happened to me. Take those first steps and be honest with God. He is there waiting for us to share our deepest emotions, our troubles, our victories, every part of our life with him. But reach out to him and be real. Again, forgiving someone doesn't mean that what they did is okay or make what they did go away. It lets you move on. It lets you be free. And I'm telling you, from someone who has done that, this isn't just a saying. It's real. It sets you free. Let me say it a little bit different way, because sometimes the hardest person for us to forgive is ourselves for something that we've done, for someone that we wronged, for something really, really stupid that we've done in our past. I have two of those such things in my life that I wish never would have happened. Forgiving yourself doesn't mean that what you did is okay or make what you did go away. It lets you move on and does not let what you did be your identifying moment or become your identity. Paul said that in a different way when he said, I don't pretend that I've obtained all this on my own, but this one thing I do, forget what is behind and press on to the goal of the upward calling that is before me. I'm sure you've seen this before, but if I'm holding on to unforgiveness in my hand, there is no room for me to grab what's there for me tomorrow. God has something better for you. Unforgiveness is a trap. It's a trap by the enemy to keep you, to hold you down, to keep you silent, to make you a victim. And Jesus Christ made you a victor alongside with him. I pray that if you have any unforgiveness in your heart towards anybody, that you will release them. Just release them. Put them in God's hands. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to tell of good tidings unto the meek." To bind the broken hearts, to set the captives free. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, you're captive. And my desire is to see you set free. So, how can we know if we have unforgiveness in our heart? I like to say that unforgiveness is a chain around your neck that keeps you from being able to praise our Heavenly Father with all that you have. It's a chain around your ankle. That keeps you from walking out the fullness that God has for you. And it's a chain around your arms that keeps you from being able to serve God to the fullest. Release it. No matter how bad you were hurt, the Lord God Almighty will bind your broken heart. I'll say one last thing, or two. A heart that is planted in forgiveness doesn't dwell in the past. It's always looking forward. But unforgiveness holds us in one place. You are not what has occurred to you. You are not the wrong that someone has committed against you. You are a child of the living God. and his plans for you are good, and his plans for you are to prosper you and to set you free. And I got to tell you, I sleep really good at nighttime. I apologize for all the tears. I just hate to see the enemy win in a single person's life. And it is so critical that we have a forgiving spirit in us towards everybody. No, even as the old saying would go, to our pain. It may hurt a little bit at the beginning, but I can tell you I have nothing but excitement and joy for those two folks. My mom has now passed away, got born again about 7 years before she passed away, and had nothing but joy. No depression, no drinking, joy. Man, did I need to see that. My dad got born again. All my brothers and sisters got born again. That fire went from that place on the table where that hand slap went around, right around that table, and they were all set free. Could I have had animosity and anger towards my parents for shutting me down? Could have. One of my sisters just wrote me a few weeks back and said, "Greg, thank you so much that you didn't let mom and dad break your spirit, because this may never have happened to all of us in this family." And I just thank the Lord for forgiveness. He's extended it to every single one of us so that we could extend it to everybody else. Thank you for having us in here tonight. I appreciate it so much.